It was while puzzling over these matters that Hutton had a series of exceptional insights. From looking at his own farmland, he could see that soil was created by the erosion of rocks, and that particles of this soil were continually washed away and carried off by streams and rivers and redeposited elsewhere. He realized that if such a process were carried to its natural conclusion, then earth would eventually be worn quite smooth. Yet everywhere around him there were hills. Certainly there had to be some additional process, some form of renewal and uplift, that created new hills and mountains to keep the cycle going. The marine fossils on mountain tops, he decided, had not been deposited during floods, but had risen along with the mountains themselves. He also deduced that it was heat within the earth that created new rocks and continents and thrust up mountain chains. It is not too much to say that geologists wouldn't grasp the full implications of this thought for 200 years, when finally they adopted plate tectonics. Above all, what Hutton's theories suggested was that earth processes required huge amounts of time, far more than anyone had ever dreamed. There were enough insights here to transform utterly our understanding of the earth. In 1785, Hutton worked his ideas up into a long paper which was read at consecutive meetings of the Royal Society of Edinburgh. It attracted almost no notice at all. It's not hard to see why. Here, in part, is how he presented it to his audience. In the one case, the forming cause is in the body, which is separated, for after the body has been actuated by heat, it is by the reaction of the proper matter of the body that the chasm which constitutes the vein is formed. In the other case, again, the cause is extrinsic in relation to the body in which the chasm is formed. There has been the most violent fracture and divulsion, but the cause is still to seek, and it appears not in the vein, for it is not every fracture and dislocation of the solid body of our earth in which minerals, or the proper substances of mineral veins, are found. Needless to say, almost no one in the audience had the faintest idea what he was talking about. Encouraged by his friends to expand his theory, in the touching hope that he might somehow stumble onto clarity in a more expansive format, Hutton spent the next 10 years preparing his magnum opus, which was published in 2 volumes in 1795. Together, the 2 books ran to nearly 1,000 pages, and were remarkably worse than even his most pessimistic friends had feared. Apart from anything else, nearly half the completed work now consisted of quotations from French sources, still in the original French. A 3rd volume was so unenticing that it wasn't published until 1899, more than a century after Hutton's death, and the 4th and concluding volume was never published at all. Hutton's Theory of the Earth is a strong candidate for the least read important book in science, or at least would be if there weren't so many others. Even Charles Lyell, the greatest geologist of the following century and a man who read everything, admitted he couldn't get through it.